Thank the Lord for the Sunday school lesson this morning. It's always encouraging when the Lord works in the Sunday school class and it goes along with the message. Our title this morning is The Message of the Hour. And then I added 2023. And 2024. And actually for all years that are left in time. I believe that the message of this hour and the message of this month, Brother Damon, he started out and he said it was for Christmas, or it was like Christmas. And it is a time that you and I focus more on the birth of Christ. But going beyond the birth of Christ is the life.
Yes.
And so it's not just limited to December. It's to be focused on throughout life and time, for all of the years that are ahead that you and I will be granted, as long as we are on this earth, this is the message of this hour. I'm going to not read specifically. Much was read in the Sunday school class, and but I'm going to do some of my own paraphrasing. And we believe that the in the second chapter of Luke, that when there was that proclamation given to the shepherds, it became the message of all time. Says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and it shall be to all people, for unto each of us is born a Savior. That's why the message is still fresh. It's still working its work all of these many, many years later. And this proclamation, which was made by the angels, glory to God in the highest. And then I have in parentheses, and on this earth, and it is available at this time, peace and goodwill toward all men. So I want to speak a little bit in, as we enter into this message of the hour, good tidings. I want to address peace and I want to address goodwill. According to the scripture, no one was left out. It was to all of mankind. Whatever has been in the past, whatever generations have come and gone, this message was to them. Whatever message, whatever generation comes now, whatever generation passes away, this is still the message. It is a message of good tidings, of goodwill, of peace. So I want to say this, that this, I read this somewhere. This term, good tidings, is considered an old-fashioned phrase or word. We don't really hear that word given in our normal vocabulary, in our day-to-day conversation. So we could agree that it was maybe an old term. And but I'm going to say this, that the meaning of good tidings will never grow old. And what it means is in bidding someone good tidings, it is to wish them good and positive news and thoughts, and it is to share information that you will probably like, that I will appreciate. So these good tidings that we're going to speak about today is a good message. The thought came to me like the great heart of God. What was in the great heart of God in order to send good tidings to all of mankind, down through the ages of time, an unending message, something that will speak to every generation as long as time is in this world? Then the great heart of God is proclaiming to all of mankind the unending and excessive goodwill. God has excessive goodwill toward each of us, toward the whole world. When you consider the scripture and it says, and we may say it over and over, and we have said it over and over, that God is not willing for any to perish on the face of the earth. Yes. But he wills that everyone come to him and repent and be saved. That's his goodwill. He's not willing for anyone. When you think of that, and when you consider our society, when you consider even the whole world and what is happening in our world, and when you consider the wickedness of the world and the darkness of the world, and you consider these things, and yet in the great heart of God, he is not willing for anyone to perish. He still has goodwill toward all men. Now this term, goodwill, I looked it up, I studied it out. You go all of your life and you read these passages and these scriptures, and you all of a sudden you want to know the depth of it. And if you look it up, you'll find that it is connected with business transactions. And I didn't have any idea there was a connection when I studied this out. It's like when one company wants to take over another company, wants to buy them out. Have you ever heard of a company buying another company out? Well, they don't start at the low end in their price. One company will pay a very excessive high price, much more than maybe what is considered the value of that company, because they want to show they really mean it, that they're really interested in taking over that company. And so they start out with a price that they can't hardly refuse. And it's called an excessive price. So this is what God has done. He didn't start out on the low end. When he began his plan for mankind, he started out on the highest possible offer that he could make. He wanted to prove that he had a true interest in all of mankind, and he wanted to pay the excessive high price. That was his goodwill. It was his goodwill offer. And he wanted to take over. He wants to take you over. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your leader. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be all in all to every person on the face of the earth. And he has the capability of being all that you and I need. He has the capability. No one is left out. So that was some of the thoughts that we had on goodwill. He's made a goodwill offer. We want to speak just a little bit about peace. Peace is, would you consider peace a rare commodity in today's society? And in what we all know is happening in the world, where there is no peace, where there is trouble. And by the way, were we all born in trouble? The scripture says man is born of a woman and just a few days and full of trouble. And trouble seems like it is ordained to mankind. And really, I can't think of this song, but I've heard Dan lead it here before. It was because of sin. There was no trouble in the garden before man fell. Before they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and their minds were opened up, there was peace. Peace that you and I now desire and long for, and God offers it. It is a commodity in the world that can only come from Him. We know what the scripture says about peace, that there is a peace that passeth understanding. It's not normal when you're in trouble and sorrow and grief and all of the things that come to mankind because sin happened in the garden. Because sin is prevailing in the world, people are not happy in sin. People are troubled, and they have trouble in their lives because of the choices that they have made. And so there is this longing that they have peace. Do you want peace? Do you need peace? Do I need peace? Do we pray for peace? For this peace that comes from above. It speaks about there is a peace that is offered in the world. It's a temporary peace. It's a peace that is very short-lived many times. And sometimes you and I can't even have the peace of God that passeth understanding. And sometimes it might be short-lived. Not that it can always be short-lived, but let me tell you, the devil fights peace. The devil wants your mind to be troubled. He wants you and me to have battles that are in our minds. And he wants to disturb our peace. And one of the ways he does it through imaginations most of the time. He will, through imaginations, make you begin to think, oh, they think this, or they think that, or they said this, or they... Always the enemy is trying to make you and me think thoughts that are not true. He is a liar. Amen. He is a murderer. He has no goodwill toward you or me. And so he wants to take our peace. But God wants to give peace. God has a peace that the world cannot give us. Thank the Lord. So that's part of the message of this hour. Peace, goodwill toward all men. So I want to speak just a little bit now of, let's see, the message is for not only goodwill, but good tidings. Good tidings, goodwill, and peace. So now I would like to speak about the prophecies. Just to mingle the proclamations and the prophecies that is also said to be for all people. I wrote it down like this: there were great foretellings of great hope. Hope is such a part of the message of the hour. Hope that God has for you and me is so valuable that we hold on to our hope, the hope that God offers to all of mankind is deliverance of every kind. Do you believe that? There is a scripture that says, is anything too hard for God? You and I in our humanity can sometimes think, oh, it's impossible. It's impossible for me to overcome this. It's impossible for me to really gain the victory over that. Whatever it is, it might be something different in every life. But the devil himself wants you to think it's impossible. He wants you and me to feel hopeless. That's what he has to offer. Hopelessness. We all have read it, quoted it, said it to each other, what his purpose is. His purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. He has no goodwill toward any of us. So, but to have hope that there is deliverance of every kind. Oh, we cannot thank the Lord enough for what he has done in his plan to bring redemption and to bring salvation and to be our Savior, to be our great physician, and that he was willing to pay that high, excessive price, that he had this good tidings, this good message that we would want to receive and be glad to hear. And he had the peace and he had the goodwill to offer the great price that was to be paid. And we think about over in Isaiah, which was given partly in the Sunday school class this morning also, that he was willing to preach the good tidings of great joy to the poor, to the meek, to those who could not help themselves. I cannot help myself. I am unable to grit my teeth and stand up straight. And somebody might say, pull up the straps of my boots, and I'm going to bear this, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm not going to allow the devil to know. We are no match for the devil. But there was one that came that was. There was one that was able to preach to you and me that could not help ourselves. And it was a message. It is a message of great joy, which shall not only be to us that are sitting here this morning, but to all people. And it was a message of hope that he could bind up and heal all the brokenhearted. How many broken hearts are out there today? I was sitting at a signal light. Cars were making left-hand turns in front of me. And I began to focus on the drivers. Every car that you and I see has one person in it. Somebody's driving that car, and somebody has a life. And we may look at them sitting next to us at a signal light. We don't know their life. We cannot interpret their life by looking at their faces. But I can assure you there are a lot of hurting people. Just because they may not be shedding tears as they're sitting at a light doesn't mean there aren't some hurting people. There are people that are wounded and heartbroken and disappointed. There are people that are distressed. There are people that have hurts that go deeper than what we can sometimes imagine. God is able. He paid the highest excessive price for you and me to have our broken hearts mended and healed and bound up. And he can liberate the captives. Oh, you may not be feeling all of these kind of things today, but life has a way of unfolding. I'm not being negative. I'm being real, realistic. In reality, when we speak of these things, there are many people that out there, oh, the world is full of counselors to try to help people. And I'm not speaking against them. Counseling can help. It can help to talk to somebody about your problem and share with them. And maybe that's why we have the song that Angela wrote, "We need each other, brethren." There are times that the devil will say, he has to me, I don't know about you, but maybe he'll even say, "You can't tell anybody. You can't talk to anybody about this." And it only makes it harder, and it gets deeper, and it gets more stirred up in your mind. I have found that when I press against those thoughts and I find someone that is able to share in my burden or my battle, there is a relief. Yes, we do take it to the Lord in prayer, and we cry out. I know he hears our cries. I know he is there, and he's relieved our burdens many times, and he's able to deliver again and again, and he will deliver. But the scripture also says that he is able to set those who are imprisoned and bound free. Do you ever feel like you're in a prison? Do you ever feel like that, oh, that hurts and the wounds that have come to me in my life? I wouldn't ask for a show of hands as anybody, but you can answer yourself. Anybody here never been hurt or wounded? I don't think anyone can say, I have never received a wound or a hurt. But oh, that is the message of the hour. He has goodwill toward all men. He has good tidings. He has the peace that passeth understanding. oh, we may have to pass through some of these things before we are able to claim them and lay hold on them. But I want to tell you it's there.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. So the message is also that he can set at liberty those who are bruised and oppressed. I'm telling you, the true good tidings and goodwill is in the fact that a Savior was born, but he goes beyond saving my soul. He has provided for the whole of man. This is true of every man, every woman, every child is going to face things that they need a healer in Zion.
Yes,
amen. So I do want to talk a little bit. No, I'm not through with the Isaiah prophecies. It also says that God would avenge all who mourn. You think anybody here is going to mourn at any time in life? Mourning has more to do a person can feel mournful without losing a loved one. There's things that we can grieve about, but he will avenge that grievance. Those who mourn in, and it says, and I put down here, this great God of goodwill toward all men. What does the scripture says he offers? Beauty for ashes.
Yes.
Anybody feel ugly this morning? You know the devil, he'll try to lift us up or he'll crush us down. He'll either want somebody to feel very prideful that they are beautiful, or he'll try to tell them they're ugly. Someone talked to me just not very long ago, said when they were in grade school that they were told by the other children, children can be cruel.
Yes, amen.
They were told by the other children how ugly they were, and they believed it. They're an adult. They're a grandmother today. And they still struggle with feeling ugly. Don't you know God wants them to feel beautiful in his sight? He wants to trade those ugly feelings, those ashes. He wants to give beauty, spiritual beauty, beauty for ashes. It says that he'll give the oil of joy for mourning. He wants to, he's got something better for us. He wants to make a trade-off. When you and I are feeling down, he wants to lift us up. The scripture says he's the lifter up of our heads. This is the good message. This is the message of the hour. This is the message of all time. He can save to the uttermost. He can deliver. He can help us in all of the battles of life and all of the temptations and whatever the enemy throws at us, whatever life throws at us, God is able.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Well, I want to speak a little bit also about he wants to give us the garment of praise to take the place of the spirit of heaviness. Anybody ever have the spirit of heaviness? Do you feel like praising when you're in the spirit of heaviness?
No.
It really takes something to press beyond the spirit of heaviness and say, praise the Lord.
Yes, but it works.
Or to look at what he has done. Or to go about and witness what he is doing and helping and how he works. Take something to press beyond that. But there, a spirit of heaviness is very real in this world. I hope you're not taking this as a negative, but a positive. It says that they, that you, I'm going to say, you and I will be transformed and called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, God has good will.
Yes, thank the Lord.
For you and me and all of man. So I'm going to speak about healing now. Healing is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
It's part of the atonement. We've spoken of that before. He paid an excessive high price for the healing. For the healing of not only our body, but the healing of our soul. He gave his life for the healing of our soul, but he bore stripes that... And you've heard me say this. It wasn't just... For years, I had it in my mind that it was just like taking a belting or laying on... It was much more than that. His flesh was opened up and blood came down. And there, and the Lord spoke it to me. There was a fountain of blood that was opened when he bore those stripes. And it's still flowing today. And it's the virtue of that blood that sends healing for both the mind and the body and the soul and the spirit and for all, whatever comes to us in life that is hurtful. Its healing was paid for at that time. Thank the Lord. So those are part of the good tidings of great joy. I want to tell you what healing is. This is by definition. It's the process of becoming sound and healthy again. We can relate to that physically. But we need to relate to that also emotionally. We can become sound. Once again, I have testified many times, and you've heard it, and I hope you never get tired of me telling it, because it's just as real to me today as it was when the Lord worked a work in me. In 1980, the first Sunday of 1980, from a child, I was depressed. But I, on the outside, you couldn't tell it. Around certain young people, when I was young, I was the life of the party. And nobody knew that inside, I was bound with depression. I continually got worse. I was saved at the time that the Lord delivered me, and only God knew to what depth I was that I could not recover. And the Lord sent a message the first Sunday of 1980 on emotional disturbances, and for the first time I had hope. I went to the pastor's house the next day. I cannot remember what was said, but when we got down to pray, God gave me a box. And he spoke it as plainly to me as a man. And he said, I can take all of those things from your childhood and I can put it in a box. And I can lock it, but I hand you the key. If you ever want those things in your life again, you will have to unlock the box. And the power of the depression was broken. But I had been in it nearly all my life. And it was normal. But God became my counselor.
Thank the Lord.
I would meet Lorne at the door He didn't know what to do with me. He never had a depressed day in his life. Oh, I am so depressed. God said, there are certain words you can never say again for the rest of your life. I am so depressed. And he gave me the scripture that said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But he said, I'll give you some words. Because I was still fighting it. Though the power of it was broken, it was just normal in my life. Honey, I am fighting depression today. There's a difference. We must fight against what the enemy is trying to bring on us. We must resist it. That's the word of the Lord. God completely delivered me from depression. Had I not had that deliverance, I didn't really want to live. And it was just 9 months later that our daughter was killed. Oh, God was so good. And he is still good. And though I may have the battles that I'm speaking of today, I am not depressed. Might be other things the enemy might try to bring, but I want to tell you, God has the power to deliver. It goes beyond my salvation. It goes into my emotions and my life and in my mind and my spirit. And he's able to deliver. Thank the Lord. That's the message on the day Christ was born. And it's still the message today. It has not diminished in power or even in authority. God has authority over these things that the enemy tries to bring into our life. God has the authority over it. Praise God. He wants us to become sound and healthy again, and to be whole. That's healing. And to be free from all past injuries. Healing is repairing of damaged tissues, something that's been damaged. Only God can do that. He wants us to resume a normal function. Are we normal when we're under these clouds? No, but he wants to deliver us and help us to be normal in him. To be healed is to be cured and mended. And divine healing, you know, it is not a bandwagon. Salvation is our bandwagon. But I want to tell you, we make the whole plan of God our bandwagon. But divine healing is, we could say that it's like a divine, could we say energy? Yes. Do you understand when you know that God is there and he speaks peace to you?
Yes.
In the midst of a trial or in the midst of the storm, we might say, or in the midst of the hurt and maybe the tears and whatever it is, something happens when he stops it. When he says, that's enough. You aren't going any further with my child. There is something that is working at a very deep level of my being that I can't even explain how he does it. But he does it. He has done it. I believe that every one of you here have some knowledge of how God will deliver in these kind of manners. I believe we've tasted it. The scripture tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever. Thank the Lord. That's that scripture. But I want to tell you what the Lord did for me a couple of weeks ago. The Lord spoke the balm of Gilead. And I haven't really studied out the balm of Gilead. It's in the scriptures. It's over in Jeremiah. It's the 8th chapter, around verse 22. And Isaiah asked this question, is there no balm in Gilead? Now, Gilead was one of the borders of the land of Canaan that they were to go in and possess. So it was an important position in claiming the promises of God and receiving the land that was promised to them. The scripture goes on there and it says, is there no physician? Well, we can answer it today. Jesus became the balm of Gilead. Now, that balm that they spoke of Gilead, was a very expensive ointment. It was used to heal wounds, to put on the body for healing the wounds. But Jesus became the balm of Gilead for you and me. He paid the price. Thank the Lord. He became a balm. And he not only has all power in heaven and in earth, but he has all sufficiency.
Yes, thank
the Lord. He is sufficient. His help is sufficient. I read this somewhere. It said he's sufficient to redress every sin, to redress every grievance, every wound, every distress, every offense. And I said, what does this word redress mean? I'm going to give it to you. He can remedy and set right any undesirable or unfair situation. He can remedy it. He can change it. Thank the Lord. He can take action to restore. He can compensate for any wrong or grievance. He can heal. Don't you see that we need and we use a divine healing. We pray for divine healing of our physical needs. But oh, it covers so much more. He's able to take action to restore. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and he will be the same tomorrow. So these are the good tidings and the goodwill for you and me. I'd like for us to sing a song in closing, number 78. And the title of the song is Only Jesus. And the chorus goes like this. Other friends may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word. And oh, we need each other. We need to comfort each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to bless each other. That's important. But it goes on and it says, but the balm to heal the heartache, only Jesus can afford. He's the only one that can pay the excessive high price of goodwill that he might be able to do for me that which I cannot do for myself. You might stand and sing this song and let's think about what Jesus can do for us. Thank the Lord.